Well, good morning, everybody. If you would like to join me today, we're going to be in Matthew, the 18th chapter. And while you're turning there, I would just like to say as a point of notification, but also encouragement, you know, our young people, they came back from camp and they have made a commitment to just flood these altars in time of worship. And I just want to make sure that you understand that they're coming up going, you're not spiritual enough, we are. You know, and it's certainly not anything that you're encouraged or have to do. But if you want to join them, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine. You know, a church that worships the Lord on that level, then we need to give latitude both ways, and we understand that. Some of you, that's only a few feet. For some of you, that's 100 yards between there and here. So we understand, and God bless you. Thank you for just giving them permission, you know, to worship the way they want to, and they're going to absolutely honor any way that you worship. Amen. Hey, today we are talking about childlike faith. Don't you love these faces? Don't you love these faces? You know, one of these days, we're not going to do this, by the way, so don't feel threatened, but we ought to just go over and sit in children's church and watch Pastor Vince melt. He wouldn't know what to do if we just came piling over there. It would freak him out, wouldn't it? But it would just be so cool to watch all these kids' faces because kids are fascinating. Kids have these incredible things that go on, and to jump into a kid's world is just so fun. The problem is that most of us, we kind of dip in there for a few seconds to enjoy the beauty and just the how cute they are and all this other stuff. And then we get back to our lives, and a little disappointing. We kind of wish we could still live in that world. And Jesus encouraged us and encourages us to do that. Let me just share a couple of kids' stories I found. There was little Johnny who was coming home from church. He's back in the back seat, and he's all crying, and his dad says, Johnny, what's wrong? Did something happen at church? He said, no. He said, the pastor said he wants us to grow up in a really good Christian home, but I want to live with you guys. It's kind of awesome, isn't it? And then there was a little girl. The grandpa was reading her a bedtime story, and she just kept up, just kept rubbing his face, and she finally said, Grandpa, did God make you? He said, yes, sweetheart, God made me, but he made me a long time ago. And a few seconds later, she said, Grandpa, did God make me? I said, yes, sweetheart, he made you. You're very beautiful. And then she finally said, Grandpa, God's getting a lot better at this, isn't he? It's just cute, just incredible things like that. I love it. Okay, so everybody together, here we go. Ready? Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Don't you feel better? Okay, remember the other one? What is the other one? Okay, yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but we are strong. He is strong. Then, is that one ready? Yeah, it's been a long time since I've heard these. The Bible, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. Hey! No, I'm just kidding. That's good. You are very lucky because God has kind of told me that I should not lead you through my favorite child song, and it's not scriptural at all. It's called Dum Dum Da 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 Da, and it is an incredible song that... Should I? Should I? Really? Should I? Okay, you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Okay, here we go. This is so much. I'm doing this just because I want to. If Debbie can say the things she did in her announcements, I can do this. Okay, everybody sit up real good. Hands on your knees right here. Okay, let's practice real quick. Do you know how to clap your knees twice? Yeah, you know, clap your hands twice. Okay, follow me. Here we go. The words of this song are dum dum. Everybody say dum dum. Da 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 da. That's all the words you got to know. Here we go. Ready? Dum dum da 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 da. Dum dum da da. Dum dum da 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 da. Dum dum da da. Dum dum da 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 da. Dum dum da 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 da. Dum dum da 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 da. Dum dum dum. And that's how you end that chorus. Okay. Isn't that awesome? Okay, everybody, point this direction. Okay, and point that direction because we're going to go there next. We're going to go this way first, and I just want you to go dum dum, and on the da 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 da, you pat the knees of the person next to you. You ready? Here we go. Follow me. Dum dum da 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 da. Dum dum da da. I'm sorry. Hold on. Can you not hear the instructions back there? You don't know what? Are you having a problem? Can't see? All right, here we go. Dum dum da 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 dum dum da da dum dum da 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 dum dum da da dum dum da 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 dum dum da 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 dum dum da 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 dum dum dum. It's awesome, isn't it? We would go the other direction, but we've gone both sides. Okay, so point this way again, because this time you're going to turn and pat the person on the back. Okay, we're going to go over here and pat this person on the back. Ready? Jim Smith, this is as spiritual as you get today, buddy. All right, here we go. Everybody follow me. Dum dum da 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 dum dum da da dum dum da 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 dum dum da da dum dum da 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 dum dum da 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 dum dum da 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 dum dum dum. Piece of cake, isn't it? Do you want to do the last verse?
Yeah.
I know what you're really thinking, but we're going to do it anyway. Okay, remember, point to your right ear, point to your left ear, point to your nose. That's all you need. Because on the first one, we go nose, and then right ear, and then we go nose, left ear. Ready? Here we go. Just follow me. Here we go. Dum dum da 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 dum dum da da dum dum da 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 dum dum da da dum dum da 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 dum dum da 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 dum dum da 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 dum dum dum. There's a reason. There's a reason that song has the word dumb in it a whole lot. We should have videotaped you doing that. By the way, Roger Lowe, you're supposed to cross your hands, but you never even got close. Never even got close. Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 4. The disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Father, I pray that the next few moments, as we talk about childlike faith by title, that you will help us to remind ourselves that we are your children, and that you measure us as children, and that you want us to respond to you as your children. So bless us today, Father. Help us to reinvent, refine, rediscover the childlike faith in all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Unless you are converted, he says, and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. That word converted there is a Greek word that literally means to turn back. Stop and think about it. To turn back. Now, we can't turn back the clock of age and time, but we can turn back to those principles and the issues of what it's like to be a child in the hand of God, to be a child in our faith, because there's power in that respect. And I promise you, some of you really needed a lot of help in conversion when it came to those songs, especially the last one. But that's okay. It's no big deal whatsoever. There's a few problems quickly arise when you start dealing with the concept of childlike faith. Surprisingly enough, Jesus is not talking about faith at all here. He's talking about humility. The question was asked, who is going to be the greatest? And when he answers, he is talking about how a child would go into the kingdom of heaven, and because of the humility that is involved in what it's like to be a child. Jesus tells us to become as little children. But yet in Corinthians, Paul tells us that we should put off our childish ways and grow up. It's a little bit of a dynamic there. We kind of feel a little bit caught in the middle. Is there a balance? I mean, who wants to be caught in the middle of the characteristics of a child and the expectations of an adult? It's a little confusing, isn't it? And sometimes we don't know how to turn off one and turn on the other. So here are some things that we need to learn from this wonderful scripture and from the children that we love so much. Humble yourselves as children. The cool thing about a child is they are instinctively able to believe everything you say. They immediately believe. When I say instinctively, I don't mean it's built into their DNA, because somewhere in there we morph out of that. But they believe. They are born believers. They understand. And when I say believers, I'm not talking about believers saved, you're going to heaven. I'm talking about they believe what they are told. They're instructed in some. We call it simple faith. Call it simple faith if you want to. But kids just simply easily believe. They don't have to be convinced. They don't have to do the math. They don't have to be proven. They just believe. Isn't that neat? The fact that they don't have to have this proof, this understanding, you don't have to map it out for them. They just believe. But here's one thing they do expect, and that is results. They believe, and they expect results. In fact, you know what? It is kind of sad, but kids have to be taught how to unbelieve. Santa, Easter Bunny, fairy tooth, fairy, whatever. And then there's Jesus. He gets all mixed in there until we teach him that there is no Santa. And there's no tooth fairy. There's no Easter Bunny. And then there's Jesus. And so we have to unteach some of these things because they are such believers. And it's a wonderful time of life. They all exist, but yet they counteract each other if we're not careful because of this thing. Remember when you used to believe? Remember when you didn't have to be convinced, you had to be talked to, you didn't have to be won over, you just believed? I remember the first time I got healed. I was in Troy State and I got hurt. God said, go to Auburn, your friend Trey's there, he'll pray for you and I'll heal you. Yeah, I didn't know a single scripture on healing. I hadn't been saved that long. I didn't know. I didn't know a single word. But I knew that if I did that, I would go. Drove to Auburn. That was a miracle in itself. That an Alabama fan would drive to Auburn. And that I would get healed at Auburn. What's the irony in that? I drove to Auburn. I said, Trey, man, you need to come pray for me. We found this little Methodist chapel that's always open. Went over there. He prayed for me. He said, how you feel? I said, I'm hurting. But all the way, driving back to Troy State, I was just saying, every time I felt that grimace in my back, I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. And the next morning, I woke up, and I was pain-free. And I'd been crippled over for about 3 or 4 days. You know what? I just believed. I didn't do the math. I didn't ask why. I didn't know how this would happen. I just believed. And that's the way God does it. Another thing about these wonderful qualities of a child is they're dependent. They're so dependent. I mean, everything revolves around what mom and dad will do for them. That's why it's so horrible when a child is abandoned, when a child doesn't have anyone there to take care of them. You know, they're just so dependent. They completely rely on their parents, and they do this for everything. Listen, regardless of our current independence from our parents, there was a time when we couldn't take care of ourselves at all. Somebody had to tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, what to wear, when to clean up, when to eat, when to sleep. Somebody had to do all of those things. And those kids are like that. They are just completely dependent upon their parents. And in the same way, God wants us to be dependent upon him. As a matter of fact, I think it's really sad that a lot of us have drifted so far into ourselves that we have no longer relied on him. We've relied on ourselves. And that's a great tragedy. God loves the picture, and we should embrace the picture of him, our heavenly Father, and us, his earthly children, that we are just literally waiting upon him for everything, that he is going to deliver everything to us. In the same way he calls us to be dependent upon him, you may feel it's through your talent or your intellect or your abilities that you are where you are now, even if you found yourself extremely successful. But the reality is we are still nothing without God. And when I say that, I'm not trying to strip anything away from you. I'm not trying to strip all the years of service and the things that you've acquired, the information that you've had, the years you've been in church, the years that you've given to the Lord. I'm not trying to strip you away from that at all. But every bit of that should be a reminder that we are nothing without God. Where are we outside of the blessings of our Heavenly Father, the provision of our Heavenly Father, the protection of our Heavenly Father? They're so dependent. And we need to realize that that's a quality that a lot of us have failed to embrace. Another thing is they're humble. And children are void of ambition and pride and conceit. Now, they can get in a lot of problems. They don't need a problem with that. I don't know where, but there's this universal law that teaches them to be very selfish around 2 years old. Because if you got a toy, then they want it. And as soon as they got it, it's theirs. And that word share, I don't know if it ever kicks in, but it's just not there. Man, you see kids in the nursery and everything, it's amazing. You know, and instead of the cute little nursery scene, we should pass out boxing gloves back there and Band-Aids, and we should line the walls with mattresses and stuff like that. I think that's pretty much, wouldn't that be a pretty good idea? Have you ever noticed how shy the kids become when they get in a new environment or they're introduced to another person that they really don't know? I mean, man, they'll just run real quick and they'll hide behind their parent or something like that. It's because they're just so humble. Humility is something that we wish everybody would embrace a little bit more. We live in such a world that, man, you know, we're so busy, and I'm talking about culturally, okay? We're so busy trying to find our niche in the world and trying to become somebody that we're not humble at all. Whatever little bit that we can acquire, we call it ours, and it causes us to build this little kingdom on this one little thing. Humility will take you a long way. God doesn't want to have to humiliate you because he's not into that, but he will humble you, and he will tell you the significance of that. It's a wonderful, wonderful characteristic. You know what the greatest thing that comes out of humility is? That we're easily taught if we're in that situation. Someone who's humble is ready to learn. Someone who's humble is ready to share. Someone who's humble is ready to love and to embrace other people. The last thing is that they don't ask how. They don't care how it works. They don't care how it works. I've never heard a kid ask how. We'll get to some of the other questions they ask in just a second. But they don't know anything about logic. This isn't about, you got to really explain this for me. You know, we did a lot of work here this weekend, and they were doing some electrical work on some of the lights in here, and I'm disappointed none of you came to me and said, wow, Dave, the improvement on lights are awesome. And now you're all looking up there trying to figure out what the heck I'm talking about. Yeah. But you know what? It's important that we have Jacob Myers, who did all this work. You know, it's important that he knows a little bit about what he's doing. You know, that electricity is something to be kind of scared of. That's my opinion. You know, that type of thing. But kids don't care. All they want is to walk over that wall right there, and they flip that switch. And it's amazing how they don't know that, but they have to get a little high enough to where, I think that's where the switches are, why they're up that high, so the kids can't reach them. But once they find out, man, they love to play with those things. And that and keeping doors wide open drive me crazy. But they don't care. They're not seeking understanding, but they do ask a lot of questions like when. You see, they want to know when something's going to happen. And it's not an intrusive question. It's just that they ask, and simply since they ask, the next thing that ought to happen is what they ask for ought to happen. Listen, all of us have been in that game where you're in that eternal drive to wherever. It doesn't matter if it's Disneyland or Branson or whatever, and you got kids in the back, and they keep asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? You think God gets offended when you ask him, are we there yet? I've been praying for this healing for a long time. I've been praying for this person to get saved for a long time. I've been praying for this job for a long time. God's not offended, but we need to understand that that's just kind of what it is. And they want it now. They do, however, ask why. They ask why. This isn't about explanation, by the way. It's just so that they can drive you crazy. Ask why. Why, why, why? Have you ever been in one of those things where you get hung with a kid, 2 to 3 years old, and they discover the word why? It just goes, why, why, why? And you can't, you know, about halfway through it, you go, what am I doing? This child has trapped me into this little game of why, because you're never going to satisfy them. They just have another question right after that. You know what the question is? Why? Why? Do you think God ever gets mad because you keep asking why? Now, it's a legitimate question. It's a part of who we are as children in his hand. We ask him why. The inevitable, never satisfied why. Listen, it is a good thing to live in a world of wonder. And that's where these kids are. Childlike faith. In a perfect world, we would all possess childlike faith. I found this from a guy named Dan Delzell, and he said, when was the last time you watched a little child listening, responding to the comments of a parent? The simplicity of a child's worldview is astounding. Sure, they have their moments of rebellion and fussing, don't we all? Their innocent faith, on the other hand, is something we adults seem to rarely exhibit in our own lives. Childlike faith. I know it seems so simple. You know why? Because it's simple. God didn't make this thing complicated. God didn't make it hard. You know, we've talked several times. As a matter of fact, I was in one of the Sunday school classes today, and they were talking about people getting converted and people who are very, very difficult, you know, and people who always have these reasons and these problems, these things that they have to overcome before God would ever accept them. You know, the biggest problem is that we just don't think that it's that simple. It's not simple enough that we could live decades of a horrible life as far as we're concerned, and then we could turn around and ask God and in the matter of seconds that he could change us, that he could cause us to go from unrighteous to righteous, to unholy to holy. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? But God does that. Because that's what childlike faith is all about. It's believing that this God that can do all things, there's not anything he can't do. So why can't you ask the question? I remember we were on a vacation one time and woke up and walked out, and our van had a flat. So I came into the house and I told Debbie, I said, "Man, we can't go anywhere right now." I said, "The van has a flat." And Casey, I don't know, she's 4 or 5 years old. She said, "I want to see Daddy." So we went outside and showed her the flat and everything. Came back in. She goes, "Daddy, it's okay. It's only flat on the bottom." I thought, where did that come from? That was awesome. That was awesome. I wish I could just do that with God. Hey, God, why not? I mean, you know, cancer is something you can defeat. I mean, why not? It's only money. Why not? It's only salvation. It's pretty tough. We convert it over to that, back to that adult level. See, the older you get, the more you and I mistake knowledge for wisdom. We mistake knowledge for wisdom. God doesn't want us to stay ignorant. God wants us to grow in this word. God wants us to be founded. God wants us to be really be secure in the things that we know. But sometimes the things that we know cloud the issue, and we think that it's wisdom that we become so smart. That's not wisdom at all. Remember, wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit, not your intellect. Remember that wisdom comes when God gives you the ability to understand things that you don't understand. It's not because of all the information that you've collected. We've got to be real careful how we do that. You're not wise, you're just informed if you get down that road. So in this childlike faith, we need to understand that the more we know, the more we tend to be skeptical. Isn't it true with all of us? Not only would we love to go back and be a child, wasn't that a wonderful time? I mean, I can remember as a kid, about all I had to do was worry about when I was going to get woke up, not if I was going to get woke up. Because, you know, I just knew that my parents had all that under. I never had an alarm clock. I never worried about what time it was. I never worried about when I was going to go to bed. I never worried about what I was going to do that day. I just worried about whether Harry was standing around watching me do whatever I was going to do, because he was going to find fault in it, and it was going to be belt time. That was the only thing that I ever really learned out of childhood. It was the greatest time. I remember my brothers, we used to go out into, we lived in a lot of woods and everything. We used to get trees everywhere. I mean, we did ungodly things out there. We rode trees down to the ground. We played in the creek. I remember one of the greatest times we had was when it was time to take out the trash, because we didn't take out the trash. We burnt the trash. Everything in our house got burnt. So we got this little pile where all the ashes were, and we'd line up the Cheerios box, you know, and the oatmeal and everything. And then we'd start it on fire from one end to the other. Oh, no, the oatmeal factory, it's on fire! You know, we had a little toy, fire engines and stuff like that, you know. This whole thing was playtime, destroying our trash. Until one day, we didn't know there was an aerosol paint can that got in the mix. We didn't know it was the bomb factory. We just thought it was a little paint can. That thing exploded, knocked all of us on our backside, and we decided we needed to structure our burning a little bit better. You realize we're the only thing standing in the way of faith that trusts for everything. Trust for everything. It's so easy to say, isn't it? It's so easy to say. Let me tell you where we've come. We've come into a life where the older we get, we accumulate some information. And now we're not dealing with, can God do this? We're dealing with the depth of the diagnosis. We're not dealing with, God, can God do this? We're dealing with how much it's going to cost to get that repaired. We're not dealing with, God can do this. We're dealing with the tension and the friction that's in the relationship. We're not dealing with, will God save them? We're dealing with all the things that they have done, how negative it's been, and how they'll probably never turn around and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we've got it totally backwards. We need to start looking like a child into the incredible, wonderful possibilities of a living God. You realize you and I have missed a lot of blessings because we reasoned that God would not bless us. Our mind told us we didn't deserve it. Our life and our history said we didn't earn it. And we have told a God who loves us and wanted us to come to him as a child and say, I will bless you. And we said no. We didn't say no directly to his face. We discredited, we disqualified ourselves because we decided we were in charge of making the decisions. And it's tough, isn't it? You know why it's so quiet in here right now? It's because we're a little bit condemned in our own heart. We've been so busy making a living. We've been so busy trying to make sure this church is going. God forbid that we throw all this together. We open the doors. We have the cafe open. We have the greeters out here. This worship team comes and rehearses, and we set up all this equipment. We fix the lights that you didn't even notice. You know, we do all of this stuff, and the Spirit of God not even be here. Because we decided that this is what man can do, and this is what man should do. And God is up there going, oh, my children. My children. I don't know about you. I'm a grandpa, so right now I don't worry about my kids not loving me. Because they already got my money. They got my time. They got my life. They got my wife. They got everything else. But I tell you what. One of those grandkids turns around, doesn't like Poppy, melt. I fall apart. You know, and then I start chasing them with blessings. Yeah, that's right. Fueled by my wallet. I'm doing whatever. You should have seen at the Mewburn home yesterday. We got a little bit of an incline in the backyard. I bought one of those stupid little slide things, you know, you plug the hose up to it, and those water sprays out of it. You inflate the bike. It looks like a bowling alley type thing with gutters, you know, but it's got a little pool in. And I did that. Our kids were just out there having a blast. And I thought, that was worth the stupid $35 I paid for that thing. And I started looking around. And man, I'm telling you what, it was just the greatest time in the world. God wants to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship with you. And he doesn't want to have to battle with what you know, what you don't know. He wants you to just understand. He wants you to focus on what he knows. A faith that believes that he still changes lives. A faith that believes that he still does miracles. A faith that believes that he still hears our prayers. And most of all, that he still forgives us with the unbelieving heart. You see, the problem isn't that we grew up. The problem is that we grew away. We grew away. And that's the problem in all of that. We worry about it in relationships. We worry about it in marriages. We need to worry about it with our Heavenly Father. That we grew up in him and we've known each other. And you know, the truth of the matter is, all of you came today with an expectation of what church would be like. You've already kind of figured out, you know, that our church is going to have certain components. You know there's going to be preaching, there's going to be singing, you know there's going to be a lot of things. And you'd really flip out if we didn't take up an offering. Because something's really wrong then. You know, you got all these things figured out. And what you've done is sometimes we just scheduled out God. And I'm just as guilty as you are. We are just as guilty as each other. And we need to understand one thing, that the love of God changes everything. The love of God changes everything. Once you accept the fact that God loves you, you're getting really close. Because that's where it started, isn't it? That's where that childlike faith started, isn't it? I mean, you know, you look at an infant that literally has just been born. They're only months old or whatever. How can they contribute to the intellect or to the conversation? How can they participate? But one thing they do know, they're being cared for and they're being loved. And it's through that it's nurtured and it begins to grow and it begins to take these incredible leaps of relationship. And that's why our children are so precious to us, and we'd give anything in our life to take care of them. You know what this church would do? The greatest thing that you would do is not if something happened in Africa. Not if something would happen, but you know what? If something happened to our kids, this church would rally. Am I not wrong? Absolutely. If anybody touched one of those kids, you would rally. And God's ready to rally for you. I don't care how old you are, he still sees you as a child. The problem is you need to turn that around. Do I see myself as his child? Because then I can believe, I can really believe, I can really, really believe and trust him for all of those things that I really need him to do. If only we could live that way. Or perhaps we can. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back. You know, when I was preparing this, I said, God, you know, I just know that there's a whole lot of power or zap or, you know, I don't know if there's a whole lot of wow in this sermon. And I think God was kind of telling me, this isn't about wow. Fireworks were last week, a couple weeks ago. This is about the reality of returning back to who our God is. You see, not only do our children need it, but we need it. As Dr. Dobson said it a long time ago, he said, you know, our kids will grow up much nicer if our parents will grow up first. You know, if we understand that role of being a child of God, then our kids will easily and constantly embrace what it's like to be a child of God. And some of you today have come into this place, and I don't know your story, I don't know your issue, but I do know this. You desperately need your Heavenly Father. And you've been trying to do the math, and you've worked out all of this, how can this happen, and you've tried to figure this out and this out, that out, and you've tried to alter your life. And you know what's missing? It's just the simple, childlike faith of asking God to just bless you. Remember, this verse of Scripture I read was not about faith. It was about humbling ourselves. He said, you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, but the way you get there is to humble yourself like one of these little children. Don't respond to God today through your head. Don't respond to God today through what you know in the Bible. Respond to God today by just understanding that He wants you to turn back. Remember that word converted? Turn back and have the heart of a child. And sometimes our hands are not out here because we're worshiping this way. Our hands are out here because we're broken. And we say, I need a Heavenly Father. I don't care how old you are. Some of you didn't grow up with awesome, incredible parents. And I'm so sorry. You had a dad that disappointed you. Maybe you had a mom that she was more smother than mother. She just lorded over you. I don't know if you had this affectionate, wonderful relationship. And I'm sorry that they didn't happen. But some of us did. It doesn't matter how old you get, you still miss your mom. Still miss your dad. Had a funeral Thursday of this last week. And it was a sad situation. She was 30 years old, had cancer, died. She was one of triplets. And one of the songs that the other sister dedicated and wanted played was a song, a country song called Five More Minutes. The whole song was about five more minutes. Man, everybody was, but I'd never heard the song. I'm sitting there kind of crying. Listen, this isn't about trying to trigger an emotion in you. But when was the last time you were able to confidently say, Father, without you, I'm not going to make it. And God, I'd love to rely on my bank book. And maybe you have plenty of cash. I'd like to rely on what I've accumulated, and maybe you got a lot of stuff. Maybe you got a lot of friends. Maybe you got everything. People would be envious of what you got. But what's missing is this wonderful relationship between a Heavenly Father who is ready to scoop you up and love you like crazy. And it may be because of physical things. I don't know. But whatever you're missing today, you're not going to find it in anybody, in anywhere, in anything other than your Heavenly Father. Will you just let Him love you today like He's intended to? But the disconnect is on our part. Will you stand with me? I'm not going to ask you to do this just for a few seconds. But will you do me a favor? Will you just put your arms out like this? All I want you to do is, the reason for that is that, you know, can you imagine what God sees? He sees His kids like that. I got to tell you, I see my grandkids because my kids are too old, but you know what? I love their hugs too. When a grandkid comes running at me, arms up like that, I'm theirs. I am all about it. And you are too. God wants to love you today. God wants to touch you today. God wants to forgive you today. Listen, I know you're in a world that it's not going to turn around. God will turn it around. You can't. You've painted yourself into a corner, and God says, I am right here. Let me love you. Put your hands down. Father, I pray in the next few moments, God, that you will absolutely just come, the power of the Holy Spirit, and touch us here today, to bless us today, Lord God. to help us understand, Lord Jesus, that we are indeed your children. We've forgotten that. We've become adults. We've become big. We've become knowledgeable. And forgive us, Lord God, that we've replaced you with what we know, what we have, and what we do. But instead, Father, help us to be stripped of all of that, Lord Jesus, for just a magic moment, a tremendous moment, to where we can just be found in the arms of our Heavenly Father. I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.